Cassette number 10, side 1, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Continuing section 2, division B, The Factor of Manas, on page 417. Roman numeral 4, The Future of Manas. It is only intended to handle this immense subject primarily in its relation to man, leaving the student to work out for himself much of what might be said and to expand the concept from the unit to the group, and from the group to the totality of groups within the solar system. We will only touch upon the development of the mind in man and hint at some probable developments. We will endeavor to show that manas, as it evolves, leads to certain distinct characteristics which distinguish it from other developments which may be seen. Page 418. The subject, therefore, will be discussed under the following subheadings. 1. The characteristics of manas. 2. Probable developments of the human mind. 3. Manas in the final rounds. In studying all these points, the emphasis is, of course, to be laid upon the future, and I enlarge not upon that which is already developed. 1. Characteristics of manas. The main characteristics of manas might be summed up under 3 heads. A. Discrimination. B. Ordered activity. C. Adaptability. Let us study these a little and note wherein, in days and cycles to come, they will be seen working out. A. Discrimination. This is necessarily almost the statement of a platitude. All students recognize the discriminative quality of manas and its selective capacity. All recognize the faculty in man which enables him to distinguish intelligently between the self and the not-self. What we are apt to forget is that this faculty persists on all planes and is threefold in manifestation. First, discrimination between the I consciousness and that which is cognized in the external world. This is the ability to distinguish between oneself and all other forms extant. It is universally developed and has reached a fairly high stage of evolution. Second, discrimination between the ego and the personality. This narrows the concept down to the sphere of a man's own consciousness and enables him to differentiate between his subjective self or soul and the bodies which hold that soul enshrined. This is not by any means so universally developed. Page 419. Most men do not as yet distinguish with accuracy between themselves as the thinker, persistent in time and space, and the vehicle through which they think, which is ephemeral and transient. The real recognition of this essential duality and the scientific appreciation of it is to be seen in the mystics, the advanced thinkers of the race, the conscious aspirants, and those nearing the portal of initiation. Third, discrimination between soul and spirit, or the realization by the man that not only can he say, I am, not only can he realize that I am that, but that he can advance to a still further realization and say, I am that I am. In all these expansions and appreciations, the discriminative faculty of manas is utilized. Therefore, we can see for ourselves the future development and whereto it will lead mankind. Man now knows himself as a separated unit of consciousness. He now distinguishes between himself and all other materialized selves. He now realizes himself as distinct from every other functioning sphere of matter, from the materialized logos to the cell in his own physical body, and the cell in all bodies on the physical plane. This separative instinct, this distinguishing self-centeredness, has been the nursery wherein the infant, man, has segregated himself until he is of full strength and able to take his share in the work of his group. Only the voluntary merging of interest and of aim is of value, and only that is seen in man as he nears the final part of the path of evolution. It is incident upon an earlier stage of intense self-assertion and intense self-realization. This stage is with us now. It marks all manifestation and is the basis of the preservation of identity. It distinguishes the logos and all forms within his body, the planetary logoi and all forms within their bodies, man and all forms within his body. Page 420. That which must be emphasized is the little realized concept that this assertion of I am distinguishes not only man, but is the mantric word which preserves the integrity of all groups likewise. When man can say, I am that, he is beginning to sense his oneness with his group. When groups make a similar assertion, they are beginning to realize their identity with all other groups. When a planetary logos echoes the words, I am that, he is approaching the hour of synthesis or of absorption. When a solar logos utters the words, a year of Brahma will be drawing to a close, and the hour of conscious merging with his greater group will be approaching. Broadly, in relation to man, it might be stated that I am refers to the personality consciousness on three lower planes, or to all that is considered as inferior to the causal body. It concerns a man's realization of his place upon the globe within a chain. I am that refers to his egoic consciousness and to the planes of the triad. It concerns a man's realization of his place within the chain and his relationship to the group of which he forms a part. I am that I am refers to a man's monadic consciousness and his relationship to the planes of abstraction. It concerns his realization of his position in the scheme. When the initiate can say, I am that I am, then he has merged himself with his divine essence and is freed from form. The first occult assertion marks his emancipation from the three lower kingdoms and his conscious functioning in the three worlds. Page 421. This occurred at individualization through the instrumentality of Manas. The second occult assertion marks the gradual emancipation of man from the lower three kingdoms and his complete freeing from lower form domination at the fifth initiation. At the final assertion, the initiate not only distinguishes between the self and all other forms of manifestation, he not only distinguishes between his own identity and the soul as well as matter in form, but he can discriminate between the three, spirit, soul, and matter. And with this realization, he is entirely liberated from manifestation for this greater cycle. This inherent discriminative faculty of Manas, displayed on ever higher spirals, leads a man into matter and form, through all forms of matter on all planes, and finally brings about his eventual abstraction from all forms and matter, plus the aggregate of transmuted knowledge which the evolutionary process has procured for him. B. Ordered activity. Here comes in the concept of intelligent purpose, pursuing a fixed and settled plan and working out a preconceived ideal in time and space. The microcosm comes into incarnation through impulse based on intelligent purpose, originating in his case on the mental plane, the plane of the manasic principle. An interesting point might here be indicated. The fifth plane, the mental, may be considered on a large scale as holding, in the case of a heavenly man, a position symbolically analogous to that held by the causal bodies of the units on his ray. Some causal bodies are on the third and some on the second subplanes, and the intricacy is excessive and various, producing geometrical forms allied somewhat to those portrayed upon the charts. All is ordered activity of the units, each pursuing his own self-centered purpose and following the inclination of the lower self, whose slogan is, I am. Page 422. This will gradually give place to the ordered activity of the groups in which the units recognize the oneness of their self-interest and therefore intelligently, actively, and with conscious purpose work for the good of the body corporate. The vibration which occultly accompanies the sounding of the words, I am that, by the units on the physical plane, is only very faintly beginning to make itself felt. Units here and there are sounding it forth by their lives and are thus passing on the vibration and setting it in motion against the cruder, coarser one of I am. The time for the sounding of the final mantric phrase by ordered active groups lies ahead in the sixth and seventh rounds and will not reach its full vibration in this solar system at all. I am that will peel forth fully consummated in this system of duality, for the third initiation sees the initiate comprehending its mantric force. Nevertheless, initiates of the sixth and seventh initiations will not preponderate in this system. After the fifth round and the passing into temporary obscuration of two-fifths of the human family, the remaining units will achieve an approximate standing as follows. One-fifth will mantrically sound the words, I am that I am. Two-fifths will achieve the fifth initiation and will know themselves as I am that. They will also be cultivating response to the higher note. One-fifth and a half will attain the third initiation and will know themselves as I am that in full consciousness. The remaining units will be those who are treading the path and beginning to know themselves as the group. Page 423. In reference to what has been said anent the second characteristic of Manas, a very interesting development may be looked for during the coming century. This is the intensification of business organization and the bringing under law and order of the entire life of families and groups of families, cities and groups of cities, nations and groups of nations, until the human race in every department of its exoteric life will conform to rule, this voluntarily and with monastic realization of group need. The whole trend of mental effort during the next sub-races will be towards the synthesis of endeavor, thus ensuring the good of the corporate body involved. Many interesting events will occur and many experiments will necessarily be made, some to prove successful and some failures, before Manas, or purposeful ordered intelligent activity, will control in the life of the peoples of this world. It is not possible to enter into this in greater detail as the subject is too vast. Let us now take the third attribute of Manas and its future demonstration. C. Adaptability. This is, as we know, the prime attribute ascribed to the third ray or the Brahma aspect. Therefore, fundamentally, it may be considered as the attribute of intelligence which adapts the matter aspect to the spirit aspect and is a characteristic inherent in matter itself. It works under the two laws of economy and of attraction and repulsion, the work of the Mahachohan being primarily along this line. Consequently, the four lesser rays of attribute which are synthesized into the third ray of aspect, adaptability or active intelligence, are fundamentally concerned, and the future of Manas is therefore involved in the growing influence of these four rays. 1. Harmony, beauty, art or unity. 2. Concrete science or knowledge. 3. Abstract idealism. 4. Ceremonial magic. Page 424. 2. Development of the human mind. When the future results brought about by the four types of force mentioned above are somewhat realized, and their relationship to the adaptation of matter to spirit through the building into form is studied, much of profound significance will be sensed by the student. In the foretelling of mental developments along these four lines and the prophesying of definite achievement, indications may be given of the path which concrete science may follow. Let us therefore take these four types of force, or these four planetary influences, and study them separately, bearing ever in mind that A. Each of them has swung into power during earlier world cycles, B. One of them, being the influence of our own planetary logos, is ever present with us and is the major influence or vibration on the planet, C. Certain of them are passing out of power at this present time and others are coming in, D. During the remainder of this round and the entire fifth round, these four rays of attribute will circulate into and out of power ceaselessly. Towards the end of the fifth round, the third ray of aspect will predominate, having begun its work of synthesizing, and its influence will be paralleled in the sixth round by the gradually growing power of the second ray of aspect, the two types of influence overlapping. In the seventh round, the power of the second ray will predominate and the influence of the third will weaken. The first ray will make itself felt. The first ray, that of Mahadeva or the Destroyer, will set its second great impulse upon our planetary evolution by the obscuration of two-fifths of the human family. The impress to be set by the first ray upon our human family on this globe might be considered as threefold. First, at human individualization in the middle of the third root race. This was produced by a vast destruction of the forms we call animal man. This point has seldom been brought out in teaching. The advent of the Lords of the Flame, The electrical storm which ushered in the period of man was distinguished by disaster, chaos, and the destruction of many in the third kingdom of nature. The spark of mind was implanted, and the strength of its vibration and the immediate effect of its presence caused the death of the animal form, thus producing the immediate possibility of the newly vitalized causal bodies vibrating to such purpose that new physical vehicles were taken. That was the will aspect manifesting in the fourth round in connection with the human family. Second, in the fifth round, at the so-called judgment, this will bring about the apparent destruction of two-fifths of the human family and the translation of the indwelling units of consciousness to other spheres more suited to their stage of evolution. Page 426. This event will be regarded at the time as a catastrophe, but the knowers will see and know, and three-fifths of the human family will understand the reason. Third, at the final reabsorption of the perfected monads into their emanating source in the seventh round. This will be marked by obscuration and the destruction of the form. Suffering will be practically nil, as the human units involved will have reached a stage where they can consciously cooperate in the process of abstraction. It is evident, therefore, that as regards the human family, the Manasaputras in incarnation, the fourth, fifth, and seventh rounds hold hid the key to the first aspect. For the devas, it is the first, second, and sixth. For the involutionary entity, whom we call the spirit of the planet, it is simply the third. The third ray holds sway all the time, for the second ray only came into power in the second round. It holds sway simultaneously with the second ray until the end of the age, when it begins gradually to obscure as the first ray swings into influence again. Remember, nevertheless, that all three are at all times present. It is simply a question of degree and of cyclic evolution. We might now take the four minor rays, which, with the third, make the sum total of Manas, and see wherein their influence may be expected. The subject is so stupendous that we cannot possibly do more than touch upon certain points, nor can we enlarge along the line of the mechanistic development of forms to utilize the force. This is all hidden in the science of electricity, and as exoteric science discovers how to utilize the power in the air or to reduce electrical phenomena to the uses of man, to build forms and create machines to contain and distribute the electrical forces of the atmosphere, to harness the activity of matter and to drive it towards certain ends, to employ the electrical force in the air to vitalize, rebuild, and heal the physical body, then the phenomena of the rays working in cycles will be comprehended, and vast opportunities will be seized by man to bring about specific ends during specific cycles. Page 427. A. Ray effects. The ray of harmony, beauty, and art, or the second manasic aspect, adaptability being the third, will work out in the following ways. In the development of the intuition by the means of the knowledge of sound vibration and the higher mathematics, this is being already touched upon exoterically. Music, as a means to be employed in building and destroying, will be recognized, and the laws of levitation and of rhythmic movement in all forms, from an atom to a solar system, will be studied. The manipulation of matter of all kinds by the means of sound will be practiced on the two lower planes, and when the synthesis of the four rays into the third is in process of accomplishment, then a similar knowledge will be displayed on the mental plane. The laws of fire will be gradually permitted exoteric publication. There are 27 occult laws which are only revealed after initiation at this stage of evolution. In them are summed up the basic laws of color and of music and rhythm. When music produces warmth or stimulation, and when pictures, for instance, glow or reveal the subjective within the objective, then will this fourth ray of harmony be coming to fruition. Let us keep the numbering of the rays clearly in mind. The numbers preceding the names have to do with the sevenfold manifestation, and the numbers succeeding the names concern the fivefold manifestation of Brahma. Page 428. Rays of aspect, 1, will or power, 2, love or wisdom, 3, adaptability or active intelligence, 1. rays of mind, 4, harmony, beauty, or art, 2, 5, concrete knowledge or science, 3, 6, abstract idealism, 4, 7, ceremonial magic, 5. We must now continue with our consideration of the 4 types of force emanating from certain great entities and the future results that may be expected from their effect upon man, remembering ever that these 4 influences, with their synthesis, the 3rd ray of aspect, sum up in themselves the 5th logoic principle of Manas. They are literally the radiatory effects of the divine Manasaputras. We are concerned primarily with the results to be brought about in the units in their bodies. The coming into power of this 4th ray at any time, and such an advent may be looked for towards the close of this lesser cycle, which ended in 1924, will produce a corresponding activity in connection with the 4th subplane in each plane, beginning with the 4th physical ether. This will result in the following effects. First, physical plane scientists will be able to speak with authority anent the 4th ether, even though they may not recognize it as the lowest of the 4 etheric grades of substance. Its sphere of influence and its utilization will be comprehended, and force as a factor in matter, or the electrical manifestation of energy within definite limits, will be as well understood as is hydrogen at this time. Indications of this can already be seen in the discovery of radium and the study of radioactive substances and of electronic demonstration. This knowledge will revolutionize the life of man. It will put into his hands that which occultists call power of the 4th order on the physical plane. It will enable him to utilize electrical energy for the regulation of his everyday life in a way as yet incomprehensible. It will produce new methods of illuminating and of heating the world at a small cost and with practically no initial outlay. Page 429. The fact of the existence of the etheric body will be established, and the healing of the dense physical body via the etheric body by force utilization and solar radiation will take the place of the present methods. Healing will then fall practically into 2 departments. 1, vitalization by means of A, electricity, B, solar and planetary radiation. 2, definite curative processes through the occult knowledge of A, the force centers, B, the work of the devas of the 4th ether. Transportation on sea and land will be largely superseded by the utilization of air routes and the transit of large bodies through the air by means of the instantaneous use of the force or energy inherent in the ether itself will take the place of the present methods. Religious students will study the side of manifestation we call the life side, just as a scientist studies that called matter. And both will come to a realization of the close relation existing between the two, and thus the old gap and the ancient warfare between science and religion will be in temporary abeyance. Definite methods of demonstrating the fact that life persists after the death of the physical body will be followed, and the etheric web will be recognized as a factor in the case. The connection between the different planes will be sought, and the analogy between the 4th etheric subplane and the 4th or Buddhic plane, the 4th cosmic ether, will be studied, for it will be realized that the life of those entities whom we recognize as the planetary logoi pours through our scheme from the 4th cosmic plane, the cosmic Buddhic, and thus in a very special sense through all lesser correspondences. Page 430. The alignment will be as follows. A, the 4th cosmic plane, the cosmic Buddhic. B, the 4th cosmic ether, the 4th plane of the system, the Buddhic. C, the 4th etheric subplane of our physical plane. There is thus a line of least resistance from the planes of the cosmos, producing a special activity in connection with the heavenly men, demonstrating on their own plane, and sequentially in connection with the units in their bodies on lower levels. Lines of force extending from our scheme extrasystemically will be a recognized fact and will be interpreted by scientists in terms of electrical phenomena and by the religious man in terms of life, the life force of certain entities. philosophic students will endeavor simultaneously to link these two schools of thought and to demonstrate the factor of the intelligent adaptation of the electrical phenomena, which we call matter, of that energized active material we call substance, to the life purpose of a cosmic being. In these three lines of thought, therefore, scientific, religious, and philosophic, we have the beginning of the conscious building or construction of the antaskarana of that group which we call the fifth root race. On the fourth subplane of the astral plane, a similar activity will be noted as in process. The inflowing force will cause an astral stimulation in the bodies of many of the human family who are still on that subplane, and will bring about an awakening of the desire for harmony in a new manner. This will work out relatively well in the sixth sub-race. It should be remembered that numbers of the old Atlanteans, fourth root race men, will respond to the stimulation and will find their way into incarnation at that time, for the four and the six are always closely allied. Page 431. We have another suggestive analogy in the fact that the devas of the fourth ether will be soon swinging into recognized utility, and that in the sixth sub-race the deva evolution will be exceedingly prominent. The fourth plane is the plane of at-one-ment for certain deva and human units, and certain groups, the fourth creative hierarchy and the sixth deva hierarchy, have a pronounced karma to work out together. One can now see the supreme importance of the human hierarchy, the fourth in this sequence of planes and ideas. Second cosmic plane, seven cosmic logoi. Fourth cosmic plane, seven rishis of the Great Bear. Second solar plane, seven heavenly men. Fourth solar plane, seven centers of the seven heavenly men in the fourth cosmic ether. Fourth subplane of the solar physical, seven centers of the human unit in ether of the fourth order. The beauty of the interlocking system will be apparent, even though it may not be so immediately understandable, wherein lies the relation between these complexities of entities. We must ever remember that we are considering the force or life energy of these entities as it pours into and works through definite material substantial forms. On the fourth subplane of the mental plane, there will be, in the immediate future, a period of intensified evolution for the units of the fifth root race, prior to their passing out of and into another race, globe, chain, or scheme. We have on the fourth subplane of the fifth plane the center of interest for the present race and the day of its opportunity. Here can be seen the awakening of the higher consciousness and the first ripple of perception of and vibratory response to the causal body. In this connection, we must ever remember that the periphery of the causal body encloses the permanent atoms. Page 432. It is the plane of testing of the major initiations of the threshold. It is the battleground in man, and from this plane he must secure the right to enter the path and procure that control over his lower bodies which will make him a master and not a slave. Thus, one could progress the idea and fill many books with suggestions as to that which may be expected during the next few centuries, but it does not serve any useful purpose to enlarge further. I might, in summing up these ideas, point out that the immediate future achievement consists in the utilization of force and of electrical energy for the more harmonious adjustment of the life of man. One or two more suggestions might be made anent the influence of this fourth ray of mind, and primarily it might be pointed out that more time has been given to the consideration of this ray than will be possible with most of the others, on account of its holding a place of such importance in this fourth chain of the Earth scheme, and on the fourth globe, our earthly planet. Each planetary logos pours forth his influence in different rounds, planes, chains, globes, races, and sub-races, according to their numerical relationship to the scheme of which he is the vitalizing life. Temporarily, and as the cycle progresses, these forms become receptive and negative, and are thus responsive to the positive influence of the planetary logos. One further point I would make, and as it is of an esoteric and occult nature, it can be but hinted at. At the fourth initiation, the force of the logos of the fourth ray is a vital factor in the initiation. It is through the application of the rod of initiation that his life energy is applied to the initiate, or the electrical force that emanates from him is geometrically circulated through certain centers, producing the necessitated stimulation. Page 433. At the fifth initiation, similarly, the force of the third logos may be felt, and at the sixth, that of the second logos, while at the seventh, the dynamic fire of the first logos circulates through the body of the Chohan. It might be tabulated thus. 1. The magical force of the seventh logos is felt at the first initiation. 2. The aggressive fire of the sixth logos is felt at the second initiation. 3. The illuminating light of the fifth logos is felt at the third initiation. 4. The harmonizing life of the fourth logos is felt at the fourth initiation. 5. The blending power of the third logos is felt at the fifth initiation. 6. The unifying heat of the second logos is felt at the sixth initiation. 7. The dynamic electricity of the first logos is felt at the seventh initiation. Let us now pass on to the brief consideration of the future influence of the third manasic ray of concrete knowledge or science. As I have elsewhere pointed out, this ray concerns itself with the building of form, with the utilization of matter, with the embodying of ideas or of entities, whether cosmic, systemic, lunar, or subhuman. The planetary logos of this fifth systemic ray holds a peculiar position in the scheme of things. He is the embodiment of the fifth logoic principle of Manas. His is the synthesizing scheme for the five schemes of the five Kumaras, who are Brahma, when viewed as the sum total of the third logoic aspect, though he is not the synthesizing factor for the seven schemes, which are the sum total of logoic manifestation, considered as the union of the second and third aspects. This is a point of prime importance to bear in mind. His is the influence that leads to the scientific adaptation of matter to form, and his is the life that unifies ever the three and the five. Page 434. Let us see if, by illustration, we can make this idea more simple. He is, as we know, the embodiment of the fifth principle. His influence, therefore, may ever be felt in his numerical correspondences, for he is the lord of the fifth ray in the system and the ruler of the third manasic ray when considering only the third aspect. At individualization, or at the coming into incarnation of the self-conscious units, the fifth principle linked the higher three and the lower four. This took place in the third root race and produced a form wherein dwelt spirit on the third subplane of the fifth plane. All these analogies will bear pondering upon, and the numerical relationship is not by chance. His was the power that acted via certain schemes, chains, and globes, and produced results in the cells and groups of cells in the body of our particular planetary logos. This is given by way of elucidation and by way of indicating the relative importance of the influence of a planetary logos upon another planetary logos during different stages of evolution. This influence has waxed and waned since that time, dying down during the fourth root race and waxing steadily greater during this fifth or Aryan. The planetary logos whose influence it is has not yet reached the zenith of his power in this race. For a period immediately ahead, his electrical energizing force will pour onto our planet and will bring about fresh discoveries anent matter and form and fresh revelations concerning energy in matter. During the coming sub-races, his cycle will begin to pass out, and the influence of his brother, the fourth logos of harmony, will reach its zenith for this round. During the fifth round, the power or electrical radiation of the fifth logos will again be strongly felt, for it is his round, and just as he was largely responsible for the manasic stimulation of animal man in the third root race, so in the fifth round will he be instrumental in causing that great separation which we call the judgment. Page 435. Remember in this connection that these logoi, when pouring their influence through a scheme or other septenary, work through their numerical correspondence in the chains and globes. In the fifth round, for instance, the fifth chain, a center in the body of the heavenly man, will be the recipient of this fifth type of force and will transmit and circulate it to the other chains via their fifth globe. Until the race has further evolved, the mystery lies securely hid, and the inability of man to find out the enumeration of the schemes, chains, and globes, or to discover whether they are counted from within outwards or vice versa, conceals that which must be hid. The influence of this fifth logos will be felt very considerably now on the fifth subplane of all the planes, especially in the three worlds of human endeavor, and as we are here dealing with man, we can count from what is erroneously termed the bottom up. Therefore, the mental unit of man in this fifth subrace will receive increased stimulation, enabling man to vibrate on the fifth subplane, which literally is the third subplane on the abstract level of the mental plane on which the causal body is found. The fifth spirilla will, consequently, become active, and the electrical force, or the phohatic current, will pour through it and enable those men who are at the right stage to utilize this force in order to take the first initiation. As this fifth influence becomes more and more felt, its effects will be seen on the astral plane in an intelligent conscious control, which will be based not so much on the desire for harmony as on a desire for a scientific intelligent manipulation of astral matter. When this is the case, the higher psychism will begin to make itself felt. On the physical plane, a great deal of interesting electrical phenomena will be seen, and the opportunity of the Manu to separate races, to segregate types, and to submerge and detach continents will be great. Page 436. This is the ray of separative force, and its place as a factor in the erection and destruction of forms is very interesting. It may be asked wherein this can all be interpreted in terms of fire, and thus the integrity of the thought form of this book be preserved. Whenever the words influence, radiation, or the power of a ray are used, we are dealing inferentially with electrical phenomena or with energy of some kind. This energy or electrical manifestation, this mystery of electricity to which HPB refers, is the foundation of all manifestations and lies back of all evolution. It produces light in ever-growing brilliancy, it builds and molds the form to the need of the indwelling entity, it brings about coherence and group activity, it is the warmth that causes all growth and that fosters not only the manifestations of the vegetable and animal kingdoms, but induces interaction between the human units and lies behind all human relationships. It is magnetism, radiation, attraction and repulsion, life, death, and all things. It is conscious purpose and essential will in objective manifestation, and he who has solved what lies back of electrical phenomena has solved not only the secret of his own being, but knows his place within his greater sphere, a planetary logos, is conscious of the identity of that cosmic existence we call a solar logos, and realizes somewhat the place of our system and its electrical relationship with the seven constellations. We have now to deal with the influence of a force that is waning and passing out of dominance, that of the sixth ray of devotion or idealism. It will not be possible to predicate much anent it, beyond pointing out certain general ideas which may be of value in the contemplation of ray cycles in general. Page 437. These ray influences work through their focal points in all cases, macrocosmic and microcosmic, and these are the etheric centers. The centers, in the case of all beings, are ever seven in number, and are composed of deva and human units in group activity, or of force vortices, which contain in latency and hold in ordered activity cells with the potentiality of human manifestation. Forget not the occult truism that all forms of existence pass at one stage of their career through the human kingdom. Cosmic or extrasystemic rays impinge upon or circulate via centers found on the second cosmic ether, but which at the present stage of objectivity become systemically visible in the fourth cosmic ether, the buddhic. One permanent cosmic ray is the ray of our logos himself, and the sub-rays of this ray permeate his entire system. Six other cosmic rays animating other systems influence ours, finding their reflections in the sub-rays of our logoic ray. To these six cosmic influences, our heavenly men respond, They absorb the influence, being centers in the body logoic, pass it through their schemes, circulate it through their own centers, chains, and transmit it onto other schemes, coloring it with their own peculiar shade and qualifying it by their own peculiar tone or note. The whole system of ray influence or radiatory warmth, considered both physically and psychically, is one of an intricate circulation and interaction. The radiation or vibration passes in ordered cycles from its originating source, the one ray or systemic logos, to the different centers in his body. Viewed from the physical standpoint, this ray force is the energizing factor in matter. Viewed from the psychical point of view, it is the qualitative faculty. From scheme to scheme, from chain to chain, and from globe to globe, this force or quality passes and circulates, both adding and at the same time abstracting, and returns to its focal point with two noticeable differences. A. The radiatory heat is intensified. B. The qualitative character or color is increased. Page 438. The effect on the form side is equally noticeable, and the warmth or quality of a ray not only affects the psyche of a man, a planetary logos, and a solar logos, but has a definite effect on material substance itself. Ray influences work equally on the deva and human hierarchies as they function in a planetary or logoic body. Clarity of thought might eventuate if we ever bear in mind that all forms are dual, both in evolution and in essential nature. They are the product of the work of the builders, deva forces, and of active intelligence, the human units, and the two are indivisible in the divine hermaphrodite, or heavenly man. They are stimulated in both aspects of their being by the ray influence. Let us now tabulate these ideas somewhat. 1. Entity, solar logos, force centers, heavenly men, they energize and are active life. Psychical manifestation, deva builders, they work in matter and hold the life. Physical manifestation, a solar system. 2. Entity, planetary logos, force centers, human group units. Psychical manifestation, deva builders. Physical manifestation, a scheme. 3. Entity, a man, force centers, seven etheric centers, psychical manifestation, elemental builders, physical manifestation, bodies. Each of these divisions can be studied separately, and in due course of time, when it may be safe to transmit information more freely anent the devas, it will be seen that a deva lord of a plane, for instance, works through force centers, manifests objectively through the color which is his psychical display, and ensouls the matter of a plane, just as a heavenly man ensouls his scheme. Page 439. The idea can be extended likewise to chains, globes, races, and rounds. Duality always will be seen, human and deva manifestation forming the sum total, and always will energy and quality progress in parallel lines. End of side 1, cassette number 10, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 439. Continued on side 2. Side 2. Cassette number 10, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division B, The Factor of Manas, on page 439. As the ray influence passes away from a race or a planet, a scheme or a solar system, it must not be supposed that it is completely abrogated. It has simply passed beyond the periphery of whatever ring-pass knot it was energizing, and the force of its influence is being focused elsewhere. The original recipient becomes a channel or transmitting agent, and not so much an absorber or container. Words again are handicapping us and proving their inadequacy to express an idea. What the student should recognize is that during a cycle of ray influence, the object of its immediate attention receives and absorbs it and transmutes it according to its need, and not so much, therefore, is available for transmission. When the cycle is drawing to a close, more and more of the ray influence, or magnetism, will be felt elsewhere, until practically all of it will be passed on, unabsorbed. This is what is beginning to happen in relation to this sixth ray of devotion. Egos who are on that particular ray will take form elsewhere on other globes, and in other chains, and not so much on our planet. The vibrations of that ray will quiet down as far as we are concerned and find increased activity elsewhere. To phrase it otherwise, our planet and all thereon will become positive and non-receptive and will temporarily repulse this particular type of force. A psychical manifestation of this can be seen in the dying down of what is called Christian enthusiasm. This ray, on which the Chohan Jesus may be found, will no longer pour its force to the same extent into the form he built, and it will necessarily slowly but surely disintegrate, having served its purpose for close on 2,000 years. Page 440. Later again, the same force will be felt returning, and a new form will be found slowly coming into being, but along more adequate lines. It will consequently be apparent how the knowledge of these cycles and of the force manifestation or obscuration of a ray will eventually lead to a working with the law and to an intelligent cooperation with the plan of evolution. It might here be stated that the seven Kumaras, the four exoteric and the three esoteric, cooperate with this law and work exoterically, or esoterically according to the ray in power, with the exception of the first Kumara, the logos of our scheme, who, being the synthesizing point for all, remains ever in objective activity. It is this ray activity which governs the obscuration or manifestation of a system and a scheme with all that is included in these manifestations. Hence the emphasis laid in all occult books on the study of cycles and on the differentiation of the 100 years of Brahma into its component parts. In this knowledge lies hid the mystery of being itself, of electrical force, and of thaumatic synthesis. I will make no more comments on the future effects of the ray which is passing into temporary obscuration as far as we are concerned. We shall later take up at greater length than has been possible with the other rays, the subject of the seventh type of force now coming into power, and which is therefore a vital factor in the immediate evolution of man. The fifth principle of Manas is at this time beginning to demonstrate mainly through the seventh type of force, or the fifth when considering only the Brahma aspect of manifestation. It will be immediately apparent, therefore, that this incoming ray is peculiarly situated at this time, and that its influence will be manifested under very favorable conditions. It is pouring its force out upon the seventh plane, the physical, during the fifth root race and the fifth sub-race, and consequently the opportunity is great. Page 441. In all that has been said anent the rays, it will be apparent that from the present standpoint, two are paramountly concerned with the evolution of man. The fourth ray of harmony, which is the dominant ray of the greater cycle, which includes the fourth round and globe, and the seventh ray of ceremonial magic, which is one of the foremost influences concerned in all objective manifestations. These two rays, or the force of these two planetary logoi, are largely instrumental in bringing about coherency in our chain, the fourth of the fourth scheme, and on our physical globe, the Earth. The fourth and the seventh interact, one acting temporarily as a negative force and the other as a positive. The fifth Kumara, the lord of the seventh ray, for it is necessary to keep in mind his dual position as one of the points of the five-pointed star of Brahma and as one of the triangles in the sevenfold logoic body, has a unique position as the ruler of the building devas of the physical plane, the devas of the ethers, in cooperation with their deva lord. He guides and directs the production of the form by means of certain occult words. He works, therefore, through the etheric body of all forms, and it is through his inflowing force that we may look for that increased simulation of the matter of the etheric brain which will make the physical brain receptive to the higher revealing truth, and will put into the hands of scientists the secrets of the fourth and third ethers. The development of the matter of the brain parallels the stage of development of its atomic correspondence, and in the vitalization of the fifth spirilla and the consequent reflex action of the seventh, we may look to see the mind of man assume proportions and attain achievement as yet unthought and undreamt. Page 442. We might consider the effect of this incoming force along three lines. First, the type of force, or the logoi quality, with its function and aim. Second, its work in relation to A, the animal kingdom, B, the human kingdom, C, the deva kingdom. Third, the results to be looked for during the coming centuries. The type of force, or the nature of the heavenly man of the seventh ray, is fundamentally constructive. It will be necessary here to touch somewhat upon his character and his place in the logoic scheme, calling attention to the need of refraining from personalization and externalization. The heavenly man of the scheme, in which the ray of ceremonial magic is embodied, is one of the main transmitters of radiation from the sun to the system and has a close connection with logoic kundalini. Herein lies a hint. The Raja Lord of the etheric levels of the physical plane works in close alliance with him, and this will be apparent if we bear in mind that the Lord of a plane is its embodied activity. He is the energizing force that expresses itself as a unified identity in the matter of a plane, and we might therefore get some idea of the coherency of their mutual work if we bear in mind that the Raja Lord of a plane is the sum total of the substance of that plane. The planetary logos, who is most closely connected with any particular plane, is its quality and coloring. By the united action and work of these two entities, all is accomplished, the Lord of the Builders constructing the forms which the Lord of Life utilizes to develop consciousness within. Page 443. The force or vibration of any ray might be summed up as A, the intelligent purpose of an entity, a planetary logos, B, his life energy working in, through, and upon his body of manifestation, C, his magnetic radiation as it affects, though in lesser degree, his brothers in manifestation, D, his peculiar coloring or quality, his main psychological aspect, demonstrating through his own activities within his own scheme, E, the effect of the same as it influences his brothers within the body corporate of the solar logos. F, his life force as it radiates beyond his own periphery as active energy and stimulating activity, being literally one of the aspects of Fohat. The activity aspect of a heavenly man is as much an aspect of Fohat as Brahma is the sum total of Fohat. The heavenly men are, by virtue of physical manifestation, Fohat and his brothers. When this is borne in mind, it will be seen that each of the planetary logoi, equally with the solar logos and with their reflections, human beings, demonstrate through the aspects. In their totality, all these are the expression of the incarnating logos. In the one case, his phohatic energy builds the kingdoms of nature, giving them body. In the other, he gives them their psychical value. And finally, through them all, he demonstrates as existence or being. Similar tables can be worked out for a heavenly man and a human being, laying the emphasis always upon the development of the middle or psychic aspect. Page 444 is a tabulation entitled The Aspects and Evolution. Aspect, activity, manifestation, the seven brothers, objectively, seven etheric centers, subjectively, seven types of force, evolutionary aspect, involution and evolution of the kingdoms of nature. Sum total, fire by friction, the Brahma or matter aspect, the mother. Aspect, love wisdom, dragon of wisdom. Manifestation, seven heavenly men, objectively, seven schemes, subjectively, seven rays. Evolutionary aspect, seven types of deva and human monads. Sum total, solar fire, Vishnu aspect, subjectivity or the psyche, the sun in manifestation. Aspect, will, manifestation, seven cosmic entities. Objectively, seven heavenly men. Subjectively, seven qualities. Evolutionary aspect, seven hierarchies. Sum total, electric fire, the one life, Mahadeva, spirit. With these thoughts in mind, it should be possible to see more clearly what the coming in of a ray, such as the present one, or its passing out, may involve. Page 445. In the particular case under discussion, we have the coming in of a ray that is intimately connected with the plane of manifestation, the physical plane, which is, within the greater cycle, responsible for man's very existence and the source of his future hope. This seventh ray, fifth, ever manifests in a period of transition from one kingdom to another, and this holds hid the mystery of the particular form of service of its planetary logos. He governs the processes of transmutation, incarnation, transference. In these three words, his life work is summed up. In these three words is embodied the nature of this great entity who presides over the processes of blending and merging and adaptation, who, through his knowledge of cosmic sound, guides the life forces of certain solar and lunar entities from form to form, and is the link between the soul awaiting incarnation and its body of manifestation. This is equally true whether we are considering the incarnation of a man, of a group, of an idea, or of all entities of lesser grade to the solar being who manifests through a globe or the regent of the globe under the planetary logos. All entities of higher rank than this great evolutionary being come into incarnation through the linking work of an extra-systemic being. In all periods of the transference of the life from system to system, scheme to scheme, chain to chain, this cosmic deity pours forth his power and influence. In all periods of lesser transition of the life from globe to globe, plane to plane, kingdom of nature to another kingdom, the Lord of the Seventh Ray plays a similar part. Page 446. Herein lies the reason for his inflowing force at this time, for a profound movement is in order of accomplishment, and a transference is in progress which calls for his particular type of energy. A transference is being effected of certain groups of human and deva monads out of the human kingdom into the fifth, or spiritual kingdom. During his cycle of close on 2,500 years, a specific number of men will pass on to the path of initiation, and take at least the first initiation, thus transferring their centers of consciousness out of the purely human into the early stages of the spiritual. During this same cycle, a transference of units from out of the animal kingdom into the human will proceed in the fifth chain and from thence on to another chain, thus producing a period of even greater activity than on our own globe. Similarly, I may point out, even though it is not possible to give more than a hint, that the force of the cosmic transferer is being called into activity by the transference during this cycle of a special group of highly advanced units of the human and deva kingdoms, members of the occult hierarchy, to another scheme altogether. Certain units also from among the Lipika lords are taking advantage of this cosmic influence to transfer their activity to another system, giving place to others who will work out the karma of the new age. The power of these agencies permeates the entire globe and extends throughout the chains and schemes which lie in the line of its path. It will fundamentally affect the vegetable kingdom, obscuring all types and bringing in new. It will work in the mineral kingdom and give a new impetus to the chemical processes, causing, incidentally, a setting loose of radioactive units and a consequent accretion of knowledge by the scientist. Page 447. In the elemental kingdoms and the group souls found therein, it produces facility in the transference of atoms. So far reaching are the effects of this ray, both on the deva and human units in their different kingdoms, that entirely new environments will evolve for the utilization of the new types, and entirely new characteristics will be found emerging in the race of men. We have somewhat considered the type of force which expresses itself by means of the seventh ray, and have seen that it is the great transmuting and transferring agent of the logos. We have seen that it has a powerful effect both on deva and human units. We have found that the prime function of the logos of the seventh ray is, beyond all else, that of adaptation, or the molding of the form and the rendering of it suitable to the needs of any particular entity. In all the constructive work of form building, certain factors enter in which must here be enumerated, as they concern vitally this particular heavenly man and the particular plane, the physical, on which we undergo experience. These are, first, the will or the one-pointed purpose of some entity. Second, the material through which the life proposes to manifest. This material, as we know, is found within the ring pass knot in 7 grades and in 49 subgrades. Third, the builders who are the vehicle for the divine purpose and who mold matter upon a particular plan. These builders evolve the forms out of their own nature and substance. Fourth, a plan by which the work is carried out and which is imparted to the builders, being latent in their consciousness. They evolve the form of the grand heavenly man, of the heavenly men, of the human units, and of all forms from within outwards, and produce the self-identified existences as a mother builds and produces a conscious son out of the matter of her own body, carrying certain racial earmarks, yet independent, self-conscious, self-willed, and threefold in manifestation. The fact of the identity of the Deva evolution with the essence they manipulate must ever be borne in mind. Finally, certain words or mantric sounds, which uttered by a greater life, can ever drive the lesser lives to the fulfillment of constructive purpose. Footnote. They have in India an ancient system of psychical teaching called yoga, in which the recitation of certain mantrams or verses of Sanskrit is prescribed. Especially important is said to be the way in which the mystical syllable Om or Aum is produced. Learned Brahmins tell me that the illimitable psychic potentiality of the Sanskrit charms or mantrams is only drawn out by the adoption of a certain very accurate rule of pronunciation. They say that by formulating the words correctly, a vibration is set up in the akas, or that part of the ether of space which enwraps our globe, which makes man the master over all the spirit denizens of the various kingdoms of nature. It first reacts upon the astral double or ethereal body of the man himself, purifying its grossness, stimulating its psychic powers out of the normal state of latency, and gradually fortifying them up to the point of mastery over nature's finer forces. From the Theosophist, Volume 13, pages 229 and 613. The primal single sound, Aum or Om, is the highest uttered word of power and knowledge. It is verily as Brahman itself. The regulation of the breath is the chiefest tapas discipline. Higher than the Savitri is no mantra. Higher than silence is truth. The Creator stored the veritable essences of the three Vedas in the three letters that make up the sacred word, in the three utterances that name and form the three worlds, and in the three parts of the Veda verse that invokes the sun. Each part he milked from one Veda. Whoso ponders on these, morning and evening, after having learnt the Vedas previously, he verily studies the whole of the Vedas every day. These are the gateway unto Brahman. By repeated dwelling on their significance, and tuning his desire and modeling his thought to that significance, the seeker after Brahman shall, without fail, attain all perfection, whether he discharge any other duty or not. For the very name of the Brahmana is the friend of all creatures, and the Gayatri is the prayer for the blessing of all creatures by our radiant Father in heaven, the Son. There are specific formulae known to all initiates of a certain grade, and even to many who have not attained that grade, a number have become known and are used, sometimes in ways that result in no good to the insufficiently instructed user, some one or other of which is specially adapted to produce nearly every possible effect that can be imagined. Well may Isis Unveiled, page 514, tell us that sounds and colors are all spiritual numerals. Nor is that all, for odors, metals, and planets are equally spiritual numerals. Each planet, or spiritual plane, has relation to a metal and a color. These again are in correlation with a corresponding odor and sound. The sphere of aura that surrounds every human being has one very important fold or layer, which invariably bears the color of the metal and planet to which that particular individual has most affinity. And it is on this layer that the magnetic part of odors and all sound vibrations impinges. From the Theosophist, Volume 7, page 218. Return to text. page 449. These words, or mantric sounds, are uttered by a solar logos. The threefold word gives rise to a sevenfold vibration. A heavenly man who, through utterance, sweeps into evolutionary objectivity his scheme and all that is therein. The monad, whose threefold word gives rise to a sevenfold vibration. The ego, who, through sonorous utterance, produces a human being in the three worlds. The analogy existing between these four should be carefully noted. Certain words belong to the different aspects, and the words of the first aspect set in vibration the matter that evolves through the seven cycles of solar systems. Their relation to the words of the present solar system is analogous to the primordial substance which lies back of our present creation. The words of the second aspect concern us closely, but the words of Brahma are, at the present stage, more closely connected with our work upon the physical plane. These words, where the three worlds are concerned, very largely fall into a group of mantrams hidden in the consciousness of the lords of the fifth and seventh rays. By their intelligent utterance, the third aspect, the Brahma or manasic aspect, is brought into contact with the first aspect and produces that which we call the conscious sun, S-O-N, or sun, S-U-N. Upon the mental plane, they are sounded by the lord of the fifth ray, causing a vibration not only in what we might call the lower levels, but producing response on the first or archetypal plane and on the cosmic mental plane likewise. Page 450. On the physical plane, the words uttered by the seventh logos produce the following results. First, the anchoring of the permanent atoms within their group soul, or the union of matter and consciousness. Second, the guidance of the stream of life into any particular kingdom, or the blending of form and consciousness. Third, the transference of the conscious sentient life from form to form, from group to group, from kingdom to kingdom within the hierarchies. In connection with the human kingdom, the fifth ray had to function or pour forth its influence in order to produce self-consciousness within the conscious form. It will consequently be seen that the utterance of sound along the line of force by the trained adept can both utilize deva activity to effect certain results in connection with the form side of manifestation and can drive the life within to definite action. Hence the extreme danger, as has been frequently pointed out, of the knowledge of these mantrams and the need to safeguard them from interference and misuse. Power over form and over force lies always ready in the hand of those who have done three things. First, develop the consciousness of the group in which they themselves find place. Second, learn the secret of the notes and tones to which that group responds. Third, apprehend a certain set words and phrases and the due method of chanting and intonation. They cannot bring about results outside the periphery of the group whose consciousness is theirs. For instance, an adept can work with forms and force within the ring pass knot of his own planetary logos within the three worlds, within the ring pass knot of the polar opposite of his logos, or within the ring pass knot of three planetary logoi who form a systemic triangle. Page 451. He cannot exhibit this power in the higher planes, nor within the spheres of the synthesizing and neutral schemes. After the sixth initiation, his power extends to the two planes beyond the three worlds, the buddhic and the atmic, and within the spheres of the entire Brahma aspect as we visualize it as the totality of the schemes of the five kumaras who are Brahma. At the seventh initiation, he has power on all the seven planes and within the entire number of schemes. All the sacred words are then his, and he can work in matter of all grades, sound all notes and control all types of force. He stands ready then to guide the life to regions outside the solar sphere of influence. But on the physical plane, he works primarily with the words of the seventh logos, which fall naturally into five groups. 1. Mantrams, which deal with etheric matter and control the devas of the ethers. 2. Mantrams which deal with dense physical matter and control the subhuman evolution through certain groups of devas. 3, words specifically connected with the human hierarchy, and which are very carefully guarded from the knowledge of man himself. 4, words concerning the deva evolution, which control and bring different groups of devas into the line of the will of the utterer. These are in many ways the most dangerous, and all knowledge of them is withheld from men below the rank of initiates of the third order. 5, words which affect the life side of manifestation and which drive it into or out of form. Page 452. There is a sixth group intimately connected with electrical manifestation which is beginning to work out in the formula of scientists and students of radioactivity and electrical phenomena, but fortunately for themselves they remain formulas on paper and are not as yet embodied in sound. In dealing very briefly with the question of mantrams, it is to be recognized that the time is not yet for their general publication. No purpose would be immediately served by the impartation of mantric forms. Inevitably, the time will come when they will be known, but at this time, no one would be benefited by the knowledge of them for the following reasons. Knowledge of things occult does not suffice for their wise utilization. The development of the intuition by means of aspiration, endeavor, failure, and renewed effort, ending in success, is of far more profit to the ego than the quick results brought about by the use of sound. The words are used for the manipulation of matter and its bending into form along the line of evolution. Until the inner faculty of clairvoyance is somewhat developed, this knowledge of mantrams remains practically useless and may be even a menace. When a man can see a need for correction and for adjustment in a brother's vehicle, and can awaken in his brother a desire to adjust that which is amiss, wise assistance can be given by the one who sees and sounds. Think this out, for it holds the key to the reason for the safeguarding of the words. Selflessness, sight, and sincerity of purpose must all three exist before the sounds can be imparted. Selflessness and sincerity are sometimes found, but the occult use of the inner vision is still rare. We must keep closely in mind, as we take up this matter of the incoming ray and the effects to be looked for from its influence, that we are only considering the mind aspect in the three evolutions. Page 453. I do not purpose to say much anent human development, as much has been already hinted at in the preceding pages, and a hint suffices for the true student, but it may be possible to state in broad outline the coming developments and to tabulate the results to be expected. Suggestions only are possible. Development of etheric vision universally. This will be due to two causes. First, the scientific recognition of the existence of the etheric levels, thereby freeing people from the onus of adverse public opinion and enabling them to reveal what they have individually long realized. Etheric vision is comparatively common even now, but comment concerning it is rare, owing to the fear of criticism. Secondly, the increased activity of the devas of the ethers, which throws the matter of the etheric levels into more active vibration, with consequent reflex action on the eye of man. Increased mental activity and the spread of education of the concrete mental kind everywhere. This will result in increased competition between units and between groups, the organization of business on lines hitherto undreamt of, the foundation of groups and aggregations of groups whose sole purpose will be to synthesize all the lines of human endeavor and thus bring about unification of effort and economy of force in the scientific, business, philosophic, educational, and religious worlds. The foundation of schools of medicine along new lines, whose purpose will be to study the etheric body, its relation to the dense physical body, and its function as the receiver, storer, and transmitter of the vital fluids of the system. Page 454. The foundation of the new church, which will be no longer along devotional and idealistic lines, but which will be an outgrowth of the old idealism demonstrating through mental forms. It will have for its basis the scientific recognition of the unseen world and its due appreciation and apprehension by means of accurate scientific ceremonial. This ceremonial of the Universal Church, being founded on the mental unity of all peoples, will not be ceremonial as it is now understood, as it will be the guarded, guided, scientific utilization of sound and color to bring about certain desired ends, such as the aligning of the ego, the influencing of groups, the making of contact with the occult hierarchy, the cooperation with the devas in order to further the constructive ends of evolution, and many other objects which will grow out of the scientific comprehension of the constitution of man, the nature of vibration or radioactivity, and the demonstrated reality of the hitherto metaphysical hypothesis and religious dogma of the unseen world of thought and of spiritual existence. Increased facility in approaching the path. This will be based on the fact that so many of the then existent humanity will have personal knowledge of the ruling powers and forces, will perhaps be on the probationary path, or will be initiates of the first degree. Thus the present skepticism will become non-existent. The dangers then will be along other lines, those incident to the very influence of this ray itself. The dangers of crystallization into form, so that the true spiritual devotee may become rare, and the scientific aspirant will take his place. Page 455. The true occultist is a scientist and a devotee, and where these two are not merged, we have the mystic and the man in danger of black magic, being governed by the intellect and not by selflessness. There are dangers incident also upon contact with the Deva evolution and the knowledge of the powers and forces made available through their agency. The coming into incarnation of numbers of old magicians and occultists, and the rapid growth, therefore, of recognized psychic powers among the people. This psychism, being tinged with mentality and not being of a purely astral quality, will be even more dangerous than in Atlantean days, for back of it will be some degree of will, conscious purpose, and intellectual apprehension. And unless this is paralleled by the growth of spiritual realization and by the steady grip of the ego upon the lower personality, a period of real danger may ensue. Hence the need of pointing out and of realizing the menace, so that the truth of the inner life and the need of serving the race as an essential to advancement may be proclaimed far and wide. Paralleling the incoming of this large band of seventh-ray magicians, some linked to the Brotherhood and some to the purely monastic groups, is the proposed advent of certain members of the hierarchy, initiates below the fourth initiation, and of certain disciples and probationers, all on this ray, and all true psychics, who hope through their endeavors to offset the vibrations and ward off the menace incident to the advent of the other group. The arranging of this and the preparing of the way for them in the different countries, especially in Europe and North America, is occupying the attention at this time of the Master R and the Master H. Footnote. The Master R, or Rakotsky, is the Hungarian master living at this time in Hungary, and is the regent of Europe and America under the Great Brotherhood. He works through various organizations and movements, including Masonry. He is one of the masters who take pupils. The Master H, or Hilarion, is a Cretan master, is interested in the spiritualistic movement, and is responsible for Light on the Path. Return to text. A group of scientists will come into incarnation on the physical plane during the next 75 years, who will be the medium for the revelation of the next three truths concerning electrical phenomena. Page 456. A formula of truth concerning this aspect of manifestation was prepared by initiates on the fifth ray at the close of the last century, being part of the usual attempt of the hierarchy to promote evolutionary development at the close of every cycle of 100 years. Certain parts, two-fifths, of that formula have worked out through the achievements of such men as Edison and those who participate in his type of endeavor, and through the work of those who have dealt with the subject of radium and radioactivity. Three more parts of the same formula have still to come, and will embody all that it is possible or safe for man to know anent the physical plane manifestation of electricity during the fifth subrace. All that we have here considered covers the time till the coming in of the new sub-race. This race will summarize and carry to a temporary conclusion the manasic effort of the fifth root race of mental growth and will cause results of stupendous import. During the sixth sub-race, the emphasis will not be so much on the development of mind as it will be on the utilization of the concrete mind and its acquired faculty for the development of the powers of abstract thought. Perhaps too much importance has been attached to the statement of some occult writers that the sixth sub-race will be intuitive. The intuition will be awakening and will be more prominent than now, but the outstanding characteristic will be the ability of the units of the sixth sub-race to think in abstract terms and to use the abstract mind. Their function will be to perfect, as far as may be in this round, the group antaskarana, or the link between the mental and the buddhic. Footnote: antaskarana is the lower manas, the path of communication between the personality and the higher manas, or human soul. H.P. Blavatsky. Return to text. Page 457. This bridge will be of a usable nature during the sixth root race, in which the intuition will show real and general signs of existing. In this root race, units only show signs here and there of real intuition, having built the necessary bridge in their individual selves. In the sixth root race, small groups will be intuitive. It is needless to say more here anent the influence of the seventh ray upon the sons of men. More later may be available, but enough has been suggested to form the basis of useful speculation. B. Animals and human beings and the rays. We will now take up two points and study the effect of the incoming force on the human and animal kingdoms. These points are of profound interest to the occult student for two reasons. The topic we have now to consider is the effect of the incoming seventh ray during the coming centuries upon the animal kingdom and the Deva evolution. The profundity of the interest lies in the fact that in the one case we are dealing with the evolution immediately behind the human and from which man is not as yet wholly emancipated, and in the other we are concerning ourselves with a paralleling evolution and one that is of vast importance in the scheme of things. Let us take up first this seventh ray and its effect upon the animal kingdom. Practically little is known to man concerning this kingdom of nature, save what science has vouchsafed anent the physical organisms and a few occult statements which have been given out at various times. The development of the animal consciousness and its immediate future is as yet but little understood. The most important of the occult facts concerning this third kingdom, as they relate to our present subject, may be enumerated as follows. 1. The animal kingdom holds the same relation to the human kingdom as the dense physical body does to the seven principles, and still finds its connecting link with man through the close correspondence between their bodies of objectivity. Page 458. 2. The animal kingdom is the third of the kingdoms and is, from the esoteric point of view and as regards its relation to mankind, the mother aspect, prior to the overshadowing by the Holy Spirit, the manas aspect. Think out this resemblance and trace the analogy between the cosmic mother, the systemic mother, and the same mother aspect as seen in the animal kingdom as a basis for the evolution of man. Each of the kingdoms of nature acts as the mother to the succeeding one in the evolutionary process. Any group which may be under consideration should, in due course of evolution, give birth to offspring who will, in themselves, embody some ideal and who receive their objective forms on some plane from the earlier group. From the third kingdom springs the fourth, and from this fourth will emerge the fifth, each receiving A, germ protection, B, form, C, gradual development, D, nourishment, until in each case the human child or the Christ child is brought to the birth. This is a very occult truth, and though the facts have been recognized and taught anent the fourth and fifth kingdoms, the work and place of the animal has not received its due recognition. 3. During the third root race, animal individualization took place, and the self-conscious unit called man came into being. I have somewhat dealt with the question of individualization elsewhere and seek not here to enlarge upon it. Page 459. I would only point out a correspondence that holds hid the key to the mystery of individualization. In this chain, individualization took place during the third root race and in the fourth round, speaking in this connection of a round through a chain of globes and not the life force of a planetary logos circulating through the seven chains in a scheme. It is of peculiar interest at this time that we are in the fourth round in a chain, as well as in the fourth round as regards the scheme of seven chains. It has led to evolutionary possibilities of great import. On the moon chain, individualization took place during the fifth race of the third round, and in the next chain to ours, on the evolutionary arc, individualization will take place during the sixth race of the second round. In each case, this refers to a planetary round through a chain of globes. 4. In the fourth root race, the door, as it is called, between the two kingdoms became closed, and no more of the animal kingdom passed into the human. Their cycle temporarily ended, and, to express it in terms of fire or of electrical phenomena, the animal kingdom and the human became positive to each other, and repulsion instead of attraction supervened. All this was brought about by the swinging into power of a profoundly long cycle of the fifth ray. This was necessitated by the need of man to develop along the monastic line and resulted in a period of repulsion of the animal units, leaving their consciousness to be stimulated on astral lines. Owing to this repulsion, we have one reason, and one of the least fundamental, for the destructive war and the long cycle of cruelty that has been waged between man and the animals. It can be evidenced in the terror of man in connection with wild animals of the jungles and the deserts, and in the terrible toll of life that such animals have exacted during the centuries. This must not be forgotten. Page 460. For thousands of years, wild animals have, especially before the coming in of firearms, destroyed the defenseless, and during those years, had statistics been taken, the numbers of human beings killed would reach a stupendous figure. Now, in this age, the balancing is taking place, and in the slaughter of animals, equilibrium is being reached. I do not refer to the wanton cruelties practiced under the name of science, nor to certain practices which take place under religious guise in different lands. The source of these enormities must be sought for elsewhere. It is hidden in the karma of that being who, for a period during the moon chain, held office as the entity who is the informing evolutionary life of the animal kingdom. This is a point of view needing careful pondering. End of side 2, cassette number 10, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 460. Continued on cassette number 11.